Just want to extend a welcome to those of you that are visiting with us this morning. Again, trust that this will be a time where we can fellowship together around God's holy word and look at what God has for us here this morning. I'll try not to be too long with this. 32 years ago, I started working for Hearst Excavating, and I started by driving a dump truck, and 3 weeks into my employment there, I was hauling stone out of the Cheney Quarry up towards Texter Mountain, and there's a lot of trucks that are running together, and so you kind of have to try and stay in the loop, and so I was trying to keep up with the other guys because I was a little slower at dumping and all that stuff yet. I wasn't used to it and that kind of thing. Well, that's enough of the excuses. Bottom line is I was going too fast, and I had an encounter with an officer of the law. And so he pulled me over, and he came walking up to me, wanted my information, all that stuff, and he said, "You were going over the speed limit." And he said, obviously Hearst Excavating had driven through Shannick quite often. The police was familiar with the trucks, and he said, "You go through here often enough, you know what the speed limit is." I said, "Well, in all honesty, this is my first day driving that route. I just started 3 weeks ago." Well, he mumbled a little bit, and he went back to his car, and he did whatever they do in their car when you're sitting there sweating the whole time. And then he came back, and he handed my stuff back to me, and he said, "I realize that your license are your bread and butter, that you make your living with your license, and this would add points to your license." He said, I'm going to let you go, realizing that this is a new area for you, and that you make your living with your license. So slow down." I said, "Yes, sir." And I went on my way. But the thing that officer exercised, he was an officer of the law. Okay, so the law says that I needed to be arrested because I was driving too fast. That's what the law says. But the officer, being an officer of the law, chose to let me go. He extended mercy to me. And that's the title of the subject this morning, is the mercy of God. And I have, over the last year, a little more, I've tried to share some sermons on the attributes of God. And this morning I want to talk about the mercy of God. And all of us that are sitting here that are born again this morning can say hallelujah to the mercy of God. Amen? Hallelujah to the mercy of God. Because if it were not for the mercy of God, we would not be here. Because we deserve nothing other than death. Because it was our sins that Jesus went to the cross and died. It was my sins, it was your sins that Jesus went to the cross and died for. And it was our gracious, merciful Heavenly Father that gave His Son to die for you and me. And if that doesn't make us rise up and say, hallelujah, I don't know what does. Amen? Amen? I don't know what it takes. But I believe that today that is good that we draw our attention back to mercy again, and that we take a bit of a brief look at that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. And in Jeremiah 9:23, and I've shared this verse with you, and I share these verses with you again. You don't need to turn. Actually, you can turn to Exodus 34. But in this here scripture here, it says this: "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." The beautiful thing that I see in this scripture is God is saying to each and every one of you this morning, I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me. And the way we know God is we look at God and we understand the characteristics of God, and we understand the attributes of God. And I find it interesting that we hear a lot today about grace. We hear a lot today about love. But I think it's a little difficult for us to really connect with the mercy of God. Because what it does is it does the same thing that happened with the officer. The law says that in the law there is no mercy. But the judge is the one who is able to extend mercy. And so mercy to us, it is like mercy. If there's mercy needed, then I did something wrong. If there's mercy needed, then I'm either suffering some kind of human misery, or I've sinned, that I need mercy from God. And so I have to understand that if there's a need for mercy, then there's something, there's a reason that I need mercy. And the other thing it does for us is that when we look at God as being a God to extend mercy to us, then we have to see God as a God of judge, as a judging God, as one who judges. And we don't like to see that. We don't like to picture God as a God that is a judge. But if he is extending mercy, then he is extending mercy because why? Because it's needed. And there isn't one of us sitting here this morning that hasn't at some time or another needed the mercy of God imparted into our lives. See, mercy is more than your older brother taking your arm up behind your back and saying, say mercy. We've been there. We know about these things. You know, sometimes it seems like God is just, there's things that you don't understand. God keeps pouring on one thing after another. And sometimes we step back and we say, mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jamie found out this week that she has two herniated discs and needs surgery. This week, Eric kicked his toe up against a bedpost and broke it. And obviously, with a broken toe, they don't do a whole lot except strap it to the other toe. They fasten it. So he is now Chief Two Toes. But mercy, mercy. Have we all said it? We know what I'm talking about. Lord, have mercy. And David, many times throughout scriptures, we have the account of David crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. And do we fully understand and do we give honor to mercy, the mercy that God has extended to us? Do we recognize the mercy of God, or do we go through our days without even recognizing that there is a God who is extending mercy to you and I? Because like I said, we are deserving of death and we do not get it because there is a merciful God. And I tell you this morning that if you continue to refuse the mercy of God, then there will be judgment. There will come a day because God does not judge now. Even in God's judgment, I believe that he still metes out mercy. And we'll look at the scripture a little bit deeper here. It is an attribute of God. Psalms 145, 8 through 9 says this, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. And the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Mercy is both rare and is powerful. Let me say that again. Mercy is both rare and is powerful. And so I believe when this morning, when we think about that we all, at one time or another, need mercy, then we also need to be able to give mercy. And in Matthew 5, 7, it says, blessed are the merciful. And I'll get into that a little more later on. But see, people have come to think that giving mercy or extending mercy to someone is a sign of weakness. That extending mercy lacks spine. It's a failure to exercise justice if I am merciful towards someone who deserves to get it. If I am merciful towards someone who deserves to have my wrath, I am merciful towards someone who deserves to have, and you name it. We think it's spineless and it's weak to extend mercy. Have you ever stopped and considered carefully of the mercy that God has extended to you in one of the most hideous acts of something being done against someone that has ever been on the face of the earth? It was my sin, it was your sin that nailed Jesus, the perfect Lamb, the Son of God, to the cross. It doesn't get any worse. I don't think it gets any worse than that. And yet I struggle with when someone else needs mercy, I want to beg God for mercy, but when someone else needs mercy, it's hard for me to do that. it's hard for me to do that. Still, the cry of our hearts is for mercy, exactly as the publican cried out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the thief on the cross whispered to Jesus, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." And one thing I want us to not be confused with this morning, which I think a lot of times there's a confusion between mercy and forgiveness. And what I want to share with you this morning is that out of forgiveness is what happens out of a heart of mercy. Mercy is the foundation for forgiveness. Mercy is the foundation for forgiveness. And so let's not mix the two up. We're talking about mercy, God's mercy. It might intertwine at times. And Shakespeare said it this way, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." Let me say that again. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. Mercy is rare, but it is a powerful expression of God. It is a powerful expression of God. You say, well, Luke, I don't know if I have the gift of mercy. Like if you look at Romans 12:8, it says this. In the list of spiritual gifts, mercy is named there. And it says this, "He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Are you able this morning, I ask this question of you, are you able this morning to show mercy cheerfully? And when mercy is needed, it's needed because there has been a wrong against you. And so we'll look at the mercy of God, because I think in understanding mercy, we first of all have to grasp the mercy of God. And we're going to look quickly at Exodus chapter 34. And I'm going to set the stage by starting at Exodus 32, 8 through 20. I'll read that first. Exodus 32, 8 through 20. Before I do that, it says it in Micah. Well, going back to these spiritual gifts, it says, we say, well, I don't know that gift, mercy is just not a gift of mine. It's not a spiritual gift that God has given to me. Yes, I believe that God has given supernatural gifts to people, like the gift of mercy that some people have, but it doesn't exclude any of us from exercising mercy. Not one of us are excluded if we think we don't have the gift of mercy. Then we need to take a look and understand what mercy has been exercised to us. Micah 6:8 says this, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to what? Love mercy. Love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So already in the Old Testament, there's a lot talked about mercy. We kind of think of the New Testament, the grace period as being the era of mercy, but there's actually more spoken of in the Old Testament of mercy than what there is in the New Testament. And so, looking at this account here in Exodus 32, we have the account where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. And God and Moses are having this interaction. And starting in chapter 32, verse 8, it says this, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath might burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make out of you a great nation.'" And then here, Moses falls on his knees before the Father and of God, and he says, "Then Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, 'Lord, why does your wrath burn against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, "He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, "I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses begins to remind God of the promise that he had made to the children of Israel. And so why would you, Lord, continue? Why would you choose to wipe these people out? Verse 14 says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And here we find the mercy of God coming through, because the people at that point had built a golden calf and were worshiping it as the thing that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Was there any right for the justice of God, for the wrath of God to come on those people? Yes, there was. They had turned their backs on him who had delivered them from bondage and had turned back to worshiping an idol. And my thoughts went to how often you and I have, in our time since we have been born again, have chosen to look away from God and worship something that was other than God. We don't do it as simple as setting up an idol and worshiping, but some of the things that we have chosen to do and to embrace have become idols to us that turn our backs to God. Amen? And were it not for the mercy of God, I believe that today, sometimes looking at my past, there have been times God would have snuffed me out. But I experienced the mercy of God. And I believe that Jesus Christ, the mediator, was standing between me and the Father, just as Moses did, and said, God, just give him another chance. Give him one more chance. Give him one more chance. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and that's your heart's cry. Your heart's cry is, God, give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. When your heart is at that place, then I believe God will honor that. But until we get there and understand that God is a merciful God, he is a gracious God, and he is a just God. Reading on, it says, and Moses turned and went down from the mountains, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand, and the tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. Does your anger this morning become hot when you see the Word of God, when you see God's people defiling God himself? Or you see anyone, not just God's people, but when you see God being defiled by idols being worshipped, does your anger burn hot? Or has it gone cold? Has it gone cold? And the only reason that God has not reached out and snuffed out is because of his mercy. It's because of his mercy that he has not reached out and snuffed out those people. If Moses would have left him have at him, I wonder what God would have did. But his plan was, let's get rid of him. And Moses, after his anger becomes very hot, he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He's mad. He is really mad. Look what he does. Then he took the calf, which he had made, and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And I wondered how he ever convinced the children of Israel to drink this water that was full of gold dust. I wonder how he did that. Then it occurred to me, I believe the very wrath of God was showing in Moses at that time. And they did what he asked them to do. And so we recognize in this here story again how God extended mercy to those that he really didn't need to. But because he is a merciful God, he did. He reached out and he extended mercy to them. Which brings us to chapter 34, verse 1. The The Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. He's back again, and he's going to make some new Ten Commandments. And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. And again, I see God's mercy in that verse, because wasn't it just not too long ago that God was saying, let me at them, let me snuff them out. And now he's saying, don't let them come close to the mountain, because if they do, they're going to die. So again, God's mercy is being extended, even in this here direction that he's giving Moses. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the first thing that needs to be recognized when you find yourself in a position where you may have sinned against God, because I believe there's kind of this here philosophy now that I've said the sinner's prayer, I will never sin again. Not true. Not true. Every one of us here this morning can testify to the fact that we have sinned against God since we have been born again. So there is a need for the mercy of God. And if we don't recognize it, if we don't see it, if we don't embrace it, then we will never fall on our faces like David did and said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. We will never do like Moses did and come before God and fall on his knees as he did here in this verse and say, God, forgive us. Lord, I pray that you would pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as your inheritance. That's what God is extending to us. When we understand the mercy of God, that's what we will do. When we recognize that we have sinned against him. And we do. There is no one that does it. We don't do it intentionally. And sometimes we find ourselves at a place where we're entertaining thoughts that are not pure. We're watching stuff that's not pure. We are interacting with people with gossip. We are gossiping about other people. We gossip about our parents. We gossip about our bosses. We gossip about the church leaders. We gossip about each other. Gossip is just as bad. It is a sin. And yet it is something. And I didn't intend to get into this here, but I wasn't going to name a lot of sins. But it's, you recognize that when you have sinned against God, then there needs to be that plea for God's mercy. And so what does all that have to do with anything? So we need to know that God is merciful. And I want to read a quote from A.W. Tozer that says this: we should banish from our minds forever the common but erroneous notion that justice and judgment characterize the God of Israel, while mercy and grace belong to the Lord of the church. Actually, there is in principle no difference between the Old Testament and the New. In the New Testament scriptures, there is a fuller development of redemptive truth, but one God speaks in both dispensations, and what he speaks agrees with what he is. Wherever and whenever God appears to men, he acts like himself, whether in the Garden of Eden or in the Garden of Gethsemane. God is merciful as well as just. He has always dealt in mercy with mankind and will always deal in justice when his mercy is despised. Let me read that sentence again. He has always dealt in mercy with mankind and will always deal in justice when his mercy is despised. Thus he did in the earlier times. Thus when Christ walked among men, thus he is doing today and will continue always to do for no other reason than that he is God. He will continue to extend mercy for no other reason than the fact that he is God. But we cannot take it for granted. So what does it mean? What is my responsibility when I recognize that God is a merciful God? And then we look at Matthew 5, verse 7. It says this, "Blessed are the merciful." He's talking to you and I now. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And let us not confuse that verse. The emphasis is on, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We do not do mercy to receive blessing. We do mercy because we understand the mercy that God has extended to you and I. That's why we are merciful, because we understand our wretched condition and that we were deserving of death, and we no longer have that death sentence on us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we do mercy out of an understanding that God is merciful to us and we need to be merciful to others. And he says in light of that, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I cannot tell us enough here this morning how needful it is for each of us this morning to experience mercy from others, because we fail. We miss it. We mess up. We speak wrongly to people. We do things to people that we expect them, we want them to exercise mercy to us. Why then is it so difficult for us to exercise to others the same mercy that God has extended to me? Why? Why is it so hard? Because I believe without a shadow of a doubt this morning that once we understand the mercy that God has extended to you and I, then we will extend it to others. We will give others the grace. We will be gracious towards them. We will extend mercy to them. And it is off of the foundation of mercy that forgiveness happens. And I told you I wouldn't keep you long this morning. And I want you to wrestle with that question. Why is it hard to extend mercy when mercy has been so graciously extended to me? Why is it so hard? Search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord. And if there's any wicked thing there, reveal it that we might do away with it and stand pure and holy before God. Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness, for your holiness. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have your written word. I thank you, Lord, for this account that is given here in Exodus of your interaction with Moses and your declaration of you being a merciful God who continues to extend mercy. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to extend that mercy in places, Lord, where it is needed. God, I pray that we would be people who would be able to lift our voices in praise of the mercy that you have shown us. Because it is in a time of misery and sin, Lord, that mercy is exalted where we need mercy. Lord, I pray that you would sensitize our hearts and our minds and our whole being to the need for mercy around us. I pray, Lord, that you would sensitize us to the need to extend mercy. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, that we would be led by your Spirit, and that we would be able to be the people, Lord, that you want us to be. God, I thank you this morning that you are a holy God, you are a just God, you are a merciful God, and today we have the promise that if we are to commit our lives and ourselves to you, Lord, we have the promise of eternal life. And God, I pray for each one that is here this morning that would be renewed, that there would be a sense of, a belonging to something that is much greater than what is happening here and in our culture today. God, draw our minds out of this world and yet give us the grace to live in it. So, Father, we commit this time, this place to you and this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in song, closing song.